you would, to Psalm 17 this morning. Psalm 17. If you'll put that graphic up for me, Tanner, please. Psalm 17. Saba. Now, I'm not exactly sure if that's the proper pronunciation. There's a couple of little marks on there that I couldn't get it. This is a Hebrew word. A Hebrew word. And if you want to write down in your notes beside this Hebrew word is satisfaction. Satisfaction. That seems to be what our world is looking for today, is satisfaction. We're looking for happiness. Corey said it this morning. He says, I can't wait for this corona stuff to get done so that I can live again, so that I can have happiness again, so that I can get back to normal. I have a conversation just about daily with different people saying, I can't wait to get back to normal. I can't wait to get back to where things are regular again. I can't either. But brothers and sisters, what is normal? What is it that brings us relief? What is it that we're really looking for? Satisfaction can be defined as what brings us pleasure, what brings us peace, what brings us something that allows us to enjoy life. But here's the problem. As Keith Richards wrote, I can't find no satisfaction. And if you're a child of the 60s, you know the exact song that I'm talking about. Him and Mick Jagger, and you can't hardly understand what Mick Jagger's singing, but you hear the refrain, I can't find no, can't get no satisfaction. Now, you probably never thought you'd hear a Rolling Stones lyric quoted from this pulpit. But here's the thing. That's what the world is saying. The world and society is saying, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't find no satisfaction. But the truth of the matter is, too, we've got a lot of Christians who are saying the same exact thing. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, this morning, I want to help you find satisfaction. To help you understand what God's word talks about in satisfaction. So the word saba, I guess that's the right pronunciation. If somebody speaks Hebrew and they can help me define it better, fantastic. But Psalm 17, David prayed this prayer and is talking to God. I want to go through this quickly. It says, number one, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come from my presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. He says, O God, hear me. O God, here's my prayer. O God, here's where my heart is. O God, this is what I'm trying to portray to you and tell you. Let me ask you this morning, have you spent some time recently in God's presence saying, O God, just hear me. Oh God, would you please understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit, when we don't even know how to pray and we don't even know how to form the words, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit forms them for us. And I'm so glad that sometimes when we're so hurting and so aching and just so desperate that all we can sometimes is just say, Lord, save me, like Peter did. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit conveys to God what we're trying to say. David said, please, God, hear what I'm praying. Hear what I'm saying. Verse number 4, he says, this is what I'm praying about. Or verse number 3 says, you have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me, and you shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. He says, God, you know me inside and out. You know everything about me. You know my failings. You know my successes. God, you know everything about me. And he says, here's what's bothering me. He says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O that saveth by the right hand, that would put their trust in thee. From those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat with their mouth they speak proudly, says, listen, God, I look around me and I see the society and I see the things that are going on. There's people who are trying to destroy me. These people are trying to kill me. There's people who are trying to wreck me. I remember King David, who wrote this. He was the king. He was the ruler. He was the authority in Israel at this time. And as he was living and as he was doing these things, there's people who were constantly trying to kill him. But look what it says. I love this verse right here. In verse number 19, it says, from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat. And I read that and I said, wait a minute. They're enclosed in their own fat. And so I looked up the word fat. You know what that word fat means? Fat. It means literal body fat. These people were so absorbed in their own desires and their own desires to bring glory to themselves and their own way to satisfy themselves. He said, listen, they're so absorbed in themselves, it's like they're surrounded in their fat. That's what the world's doing right now. They are enclosed in their own fat, and with their mouth they speak proudly. They have compassed us in our steps, and they have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. And like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, as it were a young lion leaking in secret, lurking in secret places. He says, listen, that's what the world is doing. They're finding their satisfaction in hurting other people. They're finding their satisfaction in using other people. Now, how is the world looking for satisfaction? How world looking for satisfaction? Well, let me give you some verses right here. I want you to write them down. These are some verses that talks about how the world is looking for satisfaction. Go to Job chapter 21. Go to Job chapter 21. It describes how the world is looking for satisfaction. Job chapter 21, starting in verse number 7. Job 21, verse number 7. Here's what it says. Job is writing, he says, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offering before their eyes, Their house is safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cows they calve, and they casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. He says, listen, they're all caught up in wealth, and they're all caught up in physical satisfaction. Their calves are having babies, and the bulls are siring these babies. Their children are dancing. Everybody's successful, and they are finding satisfaction in that. Now, there's nothing wrong with having satisfaction in things increasing. There's nothing wrong with having animals and farming and having your animals increase. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having success in your garden. Nothing wrong with doing well at your job. Nothing wrong with having things. But the problem is, when we start having things and we start being successful in these things, we forget about God. We forget about where our satisfaction really should lie. Because Job knows. As at the very beginning of Job, you know, it says that God allowed everything to be taken away from him. His children died. His crops failed. He lost everything. He got gigantic pimples about this big, at least all over his body. And it says that he sat on an ash heap in a garbage dump, and he took a piece of pottery and he began to scrape the pimples, the sores on his body, because he was hurting so bad. Matter of fact, his wife told him, Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? See, Job had it all, but it was all taken away like that. And Job had to make a decision, where's my satisfaction going to come from? And so here in chapter number 21, he says, listen, this is what the world finds their satisfaction in. This is what the world finds their happiness in. Let me ask you a question as we continue here. What's your satisfaction in? Is your satisfaction found in a bottle? Is your satisfaction found in a chemical substance? Is your satisfaction found in a job, in a sport, in a hobby, in a relationship? Where's your satisfaction found? See, the world says, find your satisfaction in something that will not last. Has anybody ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? I've seen a picture of one time. It was made as a joke. But honestly, when you don't go to the gravesite, there is nothing that person who has died takes with them. Even the clothes on their body eventually rot. Their bodies become dust again. They can take nothing with them. In Egypt and ancient civilizations, they used to put things in the grave with those people who died, thinking that when they awoke again, they could use them on the other side. Brothers and sisters, you came into this world with nothing. You will leave this world with nothing. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. Well, see, here's the reality of the fact. If we're spending so much time getting and getting and getting and gaining, but we're losing our own soul, Jesus said, we have gotten nothing. Let me show you another one. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Another description of what the world says is satisfaction. Another description. Psalm 73, verse number 12. Psalm 73, verse 12 is what it says. Behold, pay attention. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with having physical wealth. There's nothing wrong with doing well financially. Matter of fact, I know several people who have financial wealth. But here's the key. What do you do with that financial wealth? If you take that financial wealth and use it to gain more financial wealth, and you don't care one flip about anybody else, you're so interested in getting about the newest cars, you're interested in getting the newest TVs, you're interested in getting the best boat and getting a houseboat and getting all these properties, but you don't do nothing for the Lord, you're wasting your time. See, these people were rich, and they had wealth upon wealth upon wealth, but what happens is when you die, it goes to somebody else. Use your riches as some of you do here. Some of you have some riches that God has given you and blessed you. And I've seen people in this congregation pull out their pocketbooks and write checks and to help somebody else with those wealth. Praise the Lord! Use your riches for His benefit and for His glory. Continue to do so. But the problem is, that's not what the society tells us to do. Now go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, a further description of what some people do to find satisfaction. Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. Now I'm describing what God doesn't want us to do. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company, speaking to Jesus, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother. Tell my brother that he must divide the inheritance with me. He gets Jesus in a conversation and says, Jesus, you're the master, you're the teacher. Make my brother share his money with me. Verse number 14. And he, speaking of Jesus, tells him this, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Underline that right there. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You are more than your property. You are more than what you own. You are more than the money that is in the bank. You are more than what people can physically see. You're not defined by what you own. Write that in your Bible right there. I'm not defined by what I own. You're not. You're not defined by what you own. Some own a lot. Some own nothing. You're not defined by what you own, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus is trying to get them to say and understand here. And then he gives them a parable. He says in verse number 16, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? So he's, listen, I've got all these foods and all these fruits and all these vegetables and all this grain that I've grown. My property has made me a lot of money. What am I going to do with it now? What am I going to do with it? So he talks to himself. He doesn't ask anybody. He doesn't go to a trusted advisor. He doesn't go to a family member. He doesn't go to God. He talks to himself and says, okay, what should I do with this? Verse number 18, he answers himself. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. The problem is when you start answering yourself. Amen? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll build me a bigger storehouse. And I'll keep it full of all my possessions. And then I'm going to say, I'm satisfied. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry. And that's all I'm going to do with what God has given to me. Wow. Doesn't it sound like society nowadays? Doesn't it sound like what a lot of people are trying to do? I got to get more. I got to get more. I got to get this and I got to get that. Man, then I'll be happy. If I get the latest version of this, and if I get this, that, and I get this, then I'll be happy. May I tell you, if that's what you're chasing, the latest version of whatever it is, you'll never be happy. So this guy talks back to himself and says, I know what I'll do. I'll build me bigger houses. I'll build me bigger storehouses. And I'll fill them up. Then what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to build something bigger. Look what God says about that, though. Verse number 20. But God said to him, you fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be that you have provided? God speaks to him and says, guess what, buddy? Your time's up. You are going to die tonight. And who's going to get to enjoy everything that you've gathered? Who's going to get the benefit of all the things that you have worked so hard to build? Like I said, there's nothing wrong with having things. Enjoy them. God has given us all things to richly enjoy. But if your constant desire is to gain and get more and more and more, guess what's going to happen eventually? You're going to die. And everything that you've built up, somebody else is going to get to enjoy it. So what you're telling me to do, Brother Brian, then, is go ahead and spend it all right now. Don't save anything. Just get all I can get and get all my gusto right now. No, that's not what God is trying to help us to understand. What about your soul? What about your soul? Brother Orris was a very generous man. I remember one day, several months ago, he came to my office carrying a gigantic green bag. And inside that green bag was Lifesavers. See, every time I would come in on Sunday mornings over at Sunday school, he would always dig into his pocket and give me a handful of Lifesavers. And so I said, I appreciate that, Brother Orris. Thank you. So he came and says, well, I'm going to give you a raise, preacher. And he gave me a big old bag of Lifesavers. It's still under my desk, and I get in there and get some every once in a while. I remember that. Now, I'm not saying that's something gigantic, but Orris did that out of the kindness of his heart. He was a giving man here on this earth. He had property and things like that. But I never once heard Brother Orris tell anybody, no, I can't help you. And many of you could share those same kind of stories. When he closed his eyes last night, for the very last time, he saw his rewarder face to face. Jesus was the most important in his life. So the world says, get what I can get. Get what I can make myself satisfied. But it never satisfies. How should we be satisfied? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Should we be satisfied? We see how we should not be satisfied, but let's look now what the Bible says about how we should be satisfied. Now, I know some of you are young and think, well, Brother Brian, I've got hundreds of years to live in front of me. I'm not an old man like you. And so I don't have to worry about all that until I get to be at least 30 years old. Then I can start worrying about that. I never thought I'd make it to 30. God's playing some kind of cruel trick on me, I guess. But look what the Bible says about how we should be satisfied. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God first. Ask Him, God, okay, God, you've rewarded me with this. You've given me that. Now, what should I do with it? Now, I'm going to tell you something that some of you may not like, but here's the real issue. The Bible clearly tells God's people, when you are blessed, that you're to give back to Him. And you're to give back to Him of your increase. Some people say, well, 10%. Well, that's a good starting point, but that's an Old Testament. The New Testament says, gladly give of your increase back to God. Give it to Him, and then He takes it and uses it, and He blesses you back. Well, now you're talking legalism. I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking what the Bible clearly teaches, brothers and sisters. You give to God, you'll never outgive Him. He always does more and overflows and gives abundance. But what happens when we start hoarding it, and we start keeping it to ourselves, and we start using it to ourselves, it's amazing that God will get that money somehow. That money somehow in some way will leave you, and in a ways you don't want it to leave you. Do it God's way. Seek God's will first. Now go to Psalm 16 with me real quick. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse number 9. Psalm 16, verse number 9, it says this. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king, and his mouth transgresses not in judgment. Your heart says, hey, this is what I want to do. Your heart says, hey, this is what we need to do. But instead, the Lord's the one that directs what we do. So you get a paycheck. You get this stimulus check that we're supposed to be getting, and the news is talking about all that stuff. Instead of hoarding it, why don't you say, God, what do you want me to do with it? He may say, make your house payment. He may say, get food for your family. He may say, do this with it, do that with it. But wouldn't it be wonderful to do what He says with it instead of what you want to do with it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do with it? Now you're saying, Brother Brian, you're talking legalism again. No, I'm not. When we find satisfaction in a government stimulus check, we've got a big problem. Amen? We say, Brother Brian, what did you do when you got a stimulus check before? I used it for God's honor and glory. I gave back to Him, and that I'm using it for His honor and glory. That's what you ought to do. If you get it and your family needs to buy groceries or whatever, use it for that. Don't go buy booze and drugs and all that kind of stuff. Amen? Come on now, help me out, folks. Amen? I know I'm messing. All right, we see how the world is satisfied, and we're seeing how we should be satisfied. But now let's look. Go back to Proverbs 17, or from Psalm 17. Let me show you something here. What's going to come? What's going to come? Psalm 17. And the verse that started it all this morning, the verse that we were getting to, Psalm 17, verse number 15. David's talking to God, saying, God, all these things are taking place. And then he says in verse 15, he says, as for me, I will behold thy faith, or thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. There's that word. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. He says, God, I'm looking at all of society. I'm looking at everything that's taking place. And God, I realize that I'm going to die. But when I wake up, I know that I'm going to see your face. Somebody says, well, Brother Bryant, what does God look like? Well, you can look at human beings, because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that we are created in His likeness. And so when you see human beings, you can see God. Now, God is not a human like we per se, but you can see the beauty of His creation in human beings. You can see the beauty of His creation in the mountains and the trees and the streams and the rivers and the animals that He's created. You can see His beauty. But the Bible also tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of 1 John, it says that we don't quite understand and fathom what His face really looks like because we're looking through a glass darkly. We're looking through something that's not quite clear because we're seeing God with these eyes. You want to know what God really looks like? Look at Him through the eyes of your soul. Say, God, help me to see You today. God, help me to see what You want me to see about You. See, brothers and sisters, we need to understand this, that we're all going to die one day. We're going to close our eyes for the very last time on this earth. And when we open our eyes again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to see Him as He really is. David said, God, I realize and understand that when I awake, I'll see Your likeness. I'll see You. So in that, I'm going to be satisfied with who You are. What are you satisfied in this morning? Your pets? Your cars? Your house? Your job? Your friends, your money, is that where you find your satisfaction? Or are you satisfied in what God has done for you and is doing for you? I want to encourage you this morning. In just a moment, Ms. Shirley's going to come play. And as she plays, I'm going to ask you to contemplate and ask God, say, God, where am I finding my satisfaction? God, am I finding my satisfaction in You? Or am I finding my satisfaction in things around me? How many of you know what happened in Texas and Mississippi and Louisiana and Oklahoma this past week? One morning they woke up and everything was bright and sunny and fantastic. The very next day a cold freeze has hit, busting pipes, no power, no energy, no nothing. Even people with lots of money lost their power. Even people with lots of money had no way of getting heat to their homes. People were in their cars trying to heat up inside of a car and dying from carbon monoxide in their garages because they didn't know what to do. People with wealth. See, here's the thing. If our satisfaction is found in our wealth, it's going to disappear one day. Find your satisfaction in the Lord. Find your satisfaction in Him. Do your job so that God is satisfied. Be married and love your children and your spouse so that God is pleased. Do what you do so that God is pleased. Then you'll find true satisfaction. Get your eyes off the things of the world. Young people, look at me just for a second, please. Find your satisfaction in the things of God. Do what you do. Be successful. Make lots of money. But use that for God's glory and God's honor and God's pleasure. Find your satisfaction in Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He will give you what you need. He will give you what you need. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You that You satisfy us. Lord, we look around and we see even in Scripture how the world defines pleasure and satisfaction. And Father, there's even times in my life that I've been caught up in that. Always wanting to get a bigger animal, hunt a bigger animal, wanting another vehicle, wanting a bigger house, wanting better clothes, wanting this and wanting that, but God, I realize and understand that means nothing. It just takes up space and collects dust. Lord, those things don't bring satisfaction. Instead, satisfaction comes from knowing you as my Savior. Satisfaction comes from knowing that you want me to love people and to serve them. Satisfaction comes from knowing, God, that you have given me the strength and the ability to do those things. Lord, I know that there's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with having possessions and desires. But God, when those things take me away from you, when those things cause me to desire things other than you, then I know it's not pleasing to you. So I confess that to you right now, Father, that I want to be satisfied in you today. I don't want to be looking to my own pleasures and the pleasures of the world. I want to be looking to please you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here, that may be watching. I'm praying, God, that we will desire to have our satisfaction in you and you alone. Help us, God, to please you and bring you glory. And may we be satisfied in you today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.